I don't even remember when I was here last.
This week.
Huh?
It's been a while.
Last week, Friday.
Friday? One of the things that we've seen a great deal of is when someone becomes a believer, they end up with a mission. And the mission becomes their food. And spiritually, what happens if your activities are what give you sustenance, then spiritually you're eating the garments. It's like the priests gaining sustenance from the garments that they're wearing. You know, we saw it in Oklahoma with what's his name, when everything about what was going on was over, quote unquote, the mission. We've seen it in many evangelical organizations when the whole purpose of everything they do is to gain converts. The problem with it is that once you move from any place other than believing on him who he has sent, when Jesus was asked, what must I do to do the work of God? He said, believe on him who he has sent. The moment you believe that anything that you are doing is the work of God, then you've shifted your point of view from God to man. And at that point, you have become useless to God. Now, the same thing happens here all the time, because you get an idea or something you're working on, and that becomes your food, your sustenance. You get excited about and feel goods about what you're doing, and you've shifted your point of view from the point of view of God in front of you of man. And that is in the work of God, in the ministry, that is the most subtle of all tests. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about?
I was thinking about what it means to be useless to God. What is someone who's useful to God?
Well, one who's useful to God is the only one that's useful is one who's 100% yielded. The one who doesn't hurry through where he's accepted and doesn't hurry through where he's hated and doesn't stay where he's accepted. But once you shift your point of view from that of the work of God to the work of man, then it's the most difficult of all things to be repented of. Because you're convinced you're right. Anybody have any examples of that? Or do you want me to give them?
No, I'm just thinking of that, you know, when churches go out, up to 3 months churches where, you know, that, you know, we believe in, going out.
Go you into all the world.
Right.
Well, what's wrong with it is that your point of view has gone to man instead of to God. You got to understand, if God wanted the whole world evangelized, he would write his name in neon lights in the sky. If God wanted the whole world healed, he would have healed everybody. If God wanted, you know, there to be peace, there would be peace. If God wanted there to be whatever, there would have been. He is, all things have been given over to him. He's author and finisher of all things. What the bottom line of it is when you think you are necessary for the work of God, then you've been deceived. Now,
yeah, it's not the activity. The activity isn't a plus or a minus. It's
the mind.
Thing. It's this. It's me. It's not the activity.
Right. Does that make sense, Ronnie?
Not exactly. I'm thinking that a lot of people. I don't believe everyone that does that. And churches go out and witness to people and try to get people to come into the church and everything. I don't think that they have all those people have some kind of type of ulterior motive as to trying to make themselves seem important or something.
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying for us, for you and I, right now, that's all we're concerned with. Is once you have shifted your point of view to thinking that the work of God is doing something, as opposed to the work of God is believing, then you will be deceived. And the first thing that will happen is you'll start gaining sustenance from whether or not the work you're doing is acceptable or is successful. Well, again, I'm not talking about what other people do. That's not important right now.
So what are some examples from around here?
Anything.
School.
School.
Lewis Child.
Anything.
Protect something.
That's sort of thing.
What would I do?
Anything.
Over
anything.
Always be.
He should say, always forgive you for that. He's in a constant state of forgiveness.
Once a believer thinks that he knows or he sees what his function is, then he will be deceived. Because his function is to believe on him who he has sent. If you know, Harry's the easy one to pick on because it's so critical. I mean, it's so easy to see because if he gets on a mission that something is extremely important, then everything else has to suffer in order for him to finish that mission. That thing, whatever it is he's doing. Now that's why we've said so often that here, if anything breaks the bond of fellowship, then everything must stop until that is restored or they're gone or dealt with. So the whole idea, go to John 6, we'll see something here, I think. John 6.
It establishes the priority. Like if we're having an important minute meeting, two people start fighting, and then the whole meeting stops, and all the business that is so important has to take the back furniture and restore a fellowship. It really means it shows them.
Yeah, what I'm sitting here thinking about is I can't decide what is foreground. I can't decide what the agenda is. I can't decide what's important. I can only react.
You mean it's not true that they'll know you're a Christian by your efficiency?
No. It's not true they'll know you're a Christian by how many converts you have. It's not true they'll know you're Christians by how nice you are.
was a pretty beautiful good church.
Now, John 6, verse 66, it says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Now, why? He had 5,000 people that were following him at that point because he fed them. And then he said, you're here, you're eating the fish and the bread. In order for you to have eternal life, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they knew what that meant. Because remember, what you drink is what gives you worth. What you eat is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. And if you're gaining sustenance and satisfaction from what you do, then you're eating the garment. If you gain worth from your what you do, it's too terrible to even say what that is, because that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now, that just, and there's no better way to recognize this than go out and go to some kind of conference and meet somebody, or go to a club or anywhere. The first question they ask is, what do you do? Because that's the only way the world can gain sustenance and satisfaction is by what they do. I just reread something that John Garlock interviewed me in 1975. And he asked me that question. He said, well, what do you do, Ollie? And I said, that should be the most difficult question for a believer ever to answer. Because a believer simply believes on him who he has sent. He has no other identity. And so the whole issue, once you expose that act of gaining sustenance or satisfaction or worth from what you do, then you are in a state of spiritual rebellion and apostasy. And it must be exposed. It must be challenged. And the way you know whether or not you're gaining sustenance or satisfaction from it is your response is if you're interrupted or you're thwarted in some way. When you get upset or angry or fearful or anxious or anything, if you are interrupted, or, you know, then it's the proof that now the reason you're getting upset is because you're starving. You see that? The disciples are they that continue with him in his temptation, his test. He's never tested by what he does or doesn't do. He's tested by his remaining in total and complete dependence on God. And as he is in this world, so are we. We must walk in that total and complete dependence on the Father with no other identity. Now, there are all kinds of tests that go on in the world. When you're in the world, when you're out doing your thing, it's a survival of the fittest. And the test then are the plagues. The plagues come and show you you're not fit. When you're tested in Babylon, the test is what? What goes on in Babylon? Whether or not you will be deceived by cause and effect. But the body of Christ, the bride, is only gained sustenance and satisfaction from the body and the blood of Christ. That's all that they eat and drink. And once you've tasted of that bread and drunk of that blood, you will never again be thirsty and you'll never again be hungry. And you'll never again be concerned with yourself in any dimension. The problem with I keep telling you, abandon yourself. Well, you cannot abandon yourself if you haven't yet tasted that the Lord is good. There has to be the risk of faith in order for you to taste that the Lord is good, instead of that something that I'm doing is what's giving me identity and purpose and worth. Now, the first thing that will happen if you're not living in this position where you're continuing with him in his temptation is you will always try to shield yourself. There will always be protection of self. You know what I mean? You'll try to protect it from being exposed because deep down inside you know that it's a lie, it's a sham. And so you'll get furious if somebody challenges you. And I've seen this 10 million times since I've been teaching. Because I'm not afraid to challenge somebody. And so the whole process, we have no other identity but him. We have no other function or purpose but him. And what we do, we respond to need. We meet need as it's presented to us. We don't go looking for need. We don't go advertising for need. We don't go, you know, selling people. We walk through life responding to need. Now, with regard to the, you know, this so-called Great Commission, the Great Commission, any freshman Greek knows that that's in the aorist tense. The Great Commission isn't a command, it's a statement. If you are a believer, as you go into your world, you will make disciples. It's not a command. If it were a command, then we'd end up with what we have. does that answer? You understand? It's not a command. It's a test as to whether or not you're a believer. It's part of the cosmic poker game. If you're a believer, you'll make disciples. If you're not a believer, you'll make converts. Just stop and think. It's easy to get somebody to convert to something. That's no challenge. You just have to be a good speaker, and you present the facts, and you can talk them into doing anything. If you're a good enough speaker, that's not what God's about. God wants disciples. Disciples are those that end up knowing they do what God wants them to do without him asking. That's what obedience is. Or that's what fellowship is. It's the end result of obedience. The promise of God is that we will never, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall never be in need. Well, what happens if it looks like I'm in need? Well, you just wait. You stand still. But again, the purpose of this evil one is to shift the point of view from God to man. It can be really good stuff. Sounds really good. We'll be an evangelist and go get converts and save people from hell. But if that's my goal, then I've been deceived. You know, if my goal is to help people, then I'll be so deceived it's unbelievable. If my goal is to help somebody, then I will my sustenance and satisfaction will be dependent on whether or not they respond. If my goal is to get converts, then I will be dependent on whether or not I'm successful in terms of whether or not I have any satisfaction or sustenance or worth. I've never believed since the day I've been a believer that I've ever helped anybody. But I've seen people that have been here whose mission was to help people. And they're not here anymore. You know, just stop and look at Paul or look at Christ. You know, many people were helped, a few were grateful, but most were grossly ingrateful. Everybody left Paul three times. Everybody left Christ. Our goal has nothing to do with people. Our goal has to do with God. Believing on Him who He has sent. But if never get deceived.
Yeah, I just thought that everybody did deserve. I mean, Christ was a complete failure in terms of making followers. Everybody, nobody stepped forward, nobody stood with him. And the only one that was with him was a thief who didn't have any choice. It was nailed to a piece of wood and couldn't move anything.
Now, this way, it lies through the Garden of Gethsemane. It lies through Golgotha. We are fed the bread of life in Jerusalem. Go to Hebrews 13. I want to show you something. We are fed the bread of life in Jerusalem, but we bear his reproach outside the camp. Now look. Verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. What I noticed when I first became a believer was that there was a tendency for people to protect themselves or protect the church. And it so troubled me that ever since that day that I recognized that, I've prayed that the opposite would happen. That we would never be protected, that we would always be at risk. The way the foundation is structured is to be always at risk. Because I know the human tendency so well to know that the tendency will always be to protect. You know, why are we the only group in the entire world that investigates these ministries? Is it because we're wrong? Not if you believe the heads of those ministries. I've received calls from just about every major head of every major ministry over the years, saying, our major denomination, saying, go get them, Ole. Praise God for what you're doing. We're behind you. Well, they're not in front. They're not with, because they don't want to be sued. And they don't want, hear me, most people don't know what they believe. Most people refuse to be challenged on what they believe. And so they really don't know. And that's what I did on all those years I was on the radio, is I challenged people's beliefs. And it was wild to watch these evangelists. And remember I told you before that one time I asked 75 guests in a row what was the gospel. I got 75 different answers. if you don't know what you believe, you're not gonna challenge somebody else. Any response to all this?
When you said starving, you gave a picture that was so clear. I want to try and say it back. It's like if I'm getting my sustenance and my food from something other than Christ, and somebody comes against it, interrupts it, so it's like they're kicking the plate out.
Right, they're taking the plate away from a starving man.
Yeah, so the response is like that.
And I've seen it happen here with people over and over and over again. People that have been here for years. I said something to them that in effect took their plate away, and they got so mad they wanted to kill me.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen that. Those poor bastards.
I'll tell you what, some people
do that.
Reminds me of when you stick your foot next to a dog's bowl when he's eating. Cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I'm a very hungry dog. I've
heard of it. I was thinking, for some reason, about selective abandonment of yourself.
Never counts as that.
I've abandoned all kinds of stuff, but you save all the good stuff. But you look at what you abandon and think you fulfill the requirement.
No, abandon is everything.
It's a whole thing set up.
Now, the one thing about Christ and the one thing about Paul and the one thing about us is that you must set your face as flint to go up to Jerusalem. It's a huge deal. Think about how, one's entire life is spent searching for worth and satisfaction and sustenance. Unfortunately, many people in the church are still looking for worth and satisfaction and sustenance. And the test is, whether or not they found it, is if anything can disrupt their peace. If they can't glory in affliction, then they've gained their sustenance and satisfaction and worth from something other than him. James has got something. He says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Peace is a person. So don't be deceived about what your hands are doing. Don't think it's the work of God. The work of God is to believe on him who he has sent. Right.
At the same time, it gives your work kind of a hilarity because you're like, as important as you might think it is at one moment, you realize it's absolutely nothing.
That's right. And the other thing it does is it makes all activities equal. There's no such thing as something important except believe on him who you sent.
Yeah, it's like, again, the activity doesn't matter. The question is, are you working or are you believing? Are you being?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're digging ditches.
Go to Romans 4 real quick and real quick.
Yeah. What does this mean about going outside the camp?
Ask your Bible study teacher. it'll be, take too long to explain here. It's where the sin offering and the trespass offering couldn't be inside the camp. They had to be outside the camp. Romans 4. Verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. To him that worketh is the reward not counted of grace, but of debt. And that's why, if anybody interrupts it, it reveals the debt.
Yeah, I'm falling behind because of what you're messing around with me.
You're getting
to my goal.
I'm just doing this for you.
Yeah.
Just doing this to help someone.
It's real. This is really, really important.
We were actually talking about this last night in Bible study. We were talking about repentance and not repentance, and we were talking about rest and works. And it's, you know, you're either in the rest or works of the flesh.
Okay. All righty, take it, big guy.